right. Well, here we are. To dream again. To dare again. To feel enjoyment and happiness again. Or for the first time. To realize this is living. Be inspired. To see your life as an exciting journey of discovery. With your host of the Inspire Possibility Show, Mark Sussman.
Hi, everybody. This is Mark Sussnell. We're going to have another amazing conversation today. You're listening to the Inspire Possibility Show, the show that makes a difference, the show that hopefully will inspire you to think of new possibilities in your life and also to perhaps think about things that you used to think about that you gave up on. It's hopefully you'll be inspired. And Laura Schroff is my guest today. She's a very successful author, speaker, thought leader, and she just has a lot of interesting things. She was an author of The Invisible Thread, a best-selling book, international bestseller, New York Times bestseller. She has a new book out, Angels on Earth. And I was just talking to her off air, and it really, in The Invisible Thread, it really raises the idea, and I want to ask you out there, how many of you think that you're destined to meet somebody in your life, that there's a person that is just going to walk into your life, somebody you're destined to meet? I know I've felt like that way many, many times. And so Laura Schroff's going to educate us on that possibility. So thank you so much, Laura, for joining me.
Well, Mark, thank you so much for having me on your show. And I absolutely do believe that we all have invisible thread connections, but sometimes we're just not aware of it. And that's those people who come into our life for a reason.
Mm-hmm. That we're destined to meet is what you were
yes.
saying.
Absolutely. An invisible thread is actually an ancient Chinese proverb, how an invisible thread connects those that are destined to meet. Regardless of time and circumstance, the thread may stretch or tangle, but it will never break. And it's interesting, since an invisible thread has come out, I've had so many readers write into me and say, you know, I have always had this very special relationship that kind of just came into my life, and I never knew really how to define it, and I absolutely believe now it was an invisible thread that connected us, that we were really actually destined to meet and to be in each other's lives.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I believe, so it's really great to kind of meet somebody who is so into this, who wrote a book about this, and because I often wonder about that in the book I just wrote, The Soul of Uncertainty, I raise that question of are we destined? Are we destined to meet certain people? Are we destined to meet, let's say, a person that changes our life? It could be a soulmate. It could be a career choice. Or it could just be somebody that inspires us to do things that we never did before. And what I love about your book is that story you tell about Maurice. And can you tell our listeners about that story? I mean, that is so amazing.
Yeah, the story actually goes back to 1986 when I was working in advertising. I was in advertising sales. And I was pretty much wrapped up in my own world, you know, trying to move up the corporate ladder, you know, working really hard. I always wanted to have a child of my own, but it was really never meant to be. And then one day, as I was walking up the street, this young boy, he was 11 at the time, his name was Maurice Mazak, he said to me, "Excuse me, lady, do you have any spare change? I'm hungry." And my original reaction was to say no, which I did do. But as I got to the corner of Broadway, what resonated with me was the fact that he said he was hungry, So I went back to him and I said to him, you're just a kid. I said, so I don't want to really give you any money, but if you're hungry, I'll take you over to McDonald's and I'll get you something to eat. And we went to McDonald's and we spent some time while we were having lunch. And then when lunch was over, I had some spare time because what was so interesting is I was supposed to go to the U.S. Open that day. But that morning when I woke up, it was over Labor Day. It was the Monday of Labor Day weekend. The Open was canceled because there was a terrible rainstorm. So here I had this day and I had no plans. And I was feeling a little bit sorry for myself, and that's when I decided to go out for a walk. And that's when I met Maurice. So I said to him, do you want to take a walk to the park? And we took a walk to the park. Then I asked him if he wanted some ice cream, and he was excited because he thought it was designer because it was Haagen-Dazs. And throughout the week, I couldn't seem to get him out of my mind. And on Thursday night after work, I decided to try to find him. And unbeknownst to me that night, he was really hungry. And he thought maybe if he stood on the corner, that same corner, he would see me again and I would offer to take him to dinner. And as I turned the corner, there he was standing. I asked him if he was hungry. He told me he was starving. You know, he lived on 54th Street at a shelter hotel. And it's really hard to imagine, but at the young age of only 11, he had no choice but to fend for himself. So I took him to dinner that night, and while we were having dinner, I said to him, I have a great idea. I said, why don't you meet me on the corner next Monday night, and I'll take you out to dinner again. And that night we went to the Hard Rock Cafe, and he had a huge steak. And while we were having dinner, I said, why don't we get together next Monday night? So An Invisible Thread is really the story of our friendship that has spanned over 30 years. And, you know, what I like to say about An Invisible Thread and our story, it's when we really kind of open up our eyes and hearts to our surroundings that we see that these incredible blessings are in our path. But in order to do it, we have to slow down and we have to pause for a moment and actually take in what we see. And
Laura,
I also, yes.
You know what I'm curious about is I'm just wondering how many times you pass people on that street corner asking for spare change before you stop for Maurice.
Well, you know, for some reason, I always had this real tug at my heart when it came to homeless people, and I don't really understand why. But there used to be also this man, Stan, and he used to sleep on a grate on 56th Street right off of 6th Avenue. And for the longest time, I would buy him coffee and a donut. And then one day he was gone. But you're right. So many times you see people on the street and they ask for spare change and you just walk by them and you just kind of keep going on with your life. And you don't really take into consideration, you know, why that person is on that corner and why that person is really homeless. So an invisible thread actually gives a real inside look at how it is for a child at the young age of 11 that has no choice but to fend for himself. I mean, he lived at the Bryan Hotel. It was a shelter hotel. And he lived in one room with his mother, his grandmother, his aunt, two cousins, two sisters, and uncles that came and went, with two single beds. As a child, he could never remember food in the refrigerator. I used to say to my friends all the time, if we could all just walk in the footsteps of a homeless person for one day, a homeless child for one day, we would never, ever, ever complain about our lives. And, you know, it's unfortunate that sometimes you have to meet either a homeless person or a homeless child to appreciate how lucky you are. And, you know, I, too, came from a challenging childhood. My father was, I always say when he was great, he was great. And when he was terrible because when he drank, his darkest demons would come out and he would become extremely violent with my mother and my poor younger brother, Frank. But it wasn't until I met Maurice that I say all the time that Maurice taught me forgiveness. He actually helped me appreciate the childhood that I did have because as chaotic as my life was, I never had to worry about a warm bed to sleep in or if I was going to have, you know, a meal on the table.
You know what I'm curious about is what is Maurice doing today? I mean, what's his life about today?
You know, his life today, he is a partner in An Invisible Thread. He's also a partner in An Invisible Thread Christmas Story, which I had mentioned to you, which is targeted to children ages 4 to 8. In fact, Simon & Schuster took a chapter, the Christmas chapter, out of An Invisible Thread and made that into a children's book. But what I like to say, what I'm most proud about as far as Maurice is he's broken that cycle of generations. His children will never know from poverty, drugs, and violence. He's married, been married to the same woman for a very long time, and he has an incredible family of his own. And in fact, I tell the story in Invisible Thread of how when he came out to Long Island for the very first time with me to visit with my sister and her children and my sister's husband, he thought the house was great. He thought playing on the swings was great. But when we were driving back, he went for a bike ride with Derek. But driving back, I asked him what his favorite part about the day was, and he said to me that he loved that room. And I said, what room? He said, you know, that fancy room where we had dinner. And I said, oh, I said, that's called a dining room. I said, why did you like that room so much? And he said to me, Miss Laura, I thought the food was really great. He said, but I loved how everybody was talking and laughing. He said, and you know what? He said, someday when I grow up, I want to have a room just like that. So when you go into Maurice's cramped apartment, he doesn't have a living room. He has a dining room.
Right. Well, I got to say that when you were describing this story, I had chills. I mean, it's just it's so moving.
There's another story in the book that people really love, and I don't want to give the whole book away, but this particular story, he called on a Saturday and wanted to know if I could take him to lunch. He told me he was hungry. And I met him downstairs, and we went to McDonald's, and we were having lunch, and I asked him when was the last time he ate, because we would really meet for the most part on Mondays, but sometimes on weekends. And he hadn't had anything to eat in a couple of days. And I said, listen, I said, this can't continue. We need to figure this out. And I really trusted him. By that point, he was coming to my house for dinner on Monday nights. And we would bake chocolate chip cookies together and just hang out. He'd do his homework, would play games. But I said to him, we need to figure this out. I said, on Monday night, I said, if you want, I can give you money, and you have to be very careful as to how you spend it, but at least you'll be able to buy yourself something to eat every day. Or if you'd prefer, we can go to the supermarket together, and I'll buy you all the food you love to eat, and I'll make you lunch. I'll leave it with my doorman, and on your way to school, you can swing by and you can pick it up. And he looked at me, and he said to me, Miss Laura, if you make me lunch, are you going to put it in a brown paper bag? So this time I was really confused. And I said to him, well, do you want your lunch in a brown paper bag? You don't? And he said to me, I don't want your money. He said, I want my lunch in a brown paper bag, because when kids come to school and they have their lunch in a brown paper bag, that means someone cares about them. So things that we take so for granted. And I've had so many mothers and even fathers say to me, you know, I never really thought about the meaning of packing lunch. I always saw it as this major hassle. And having read your book, now when I make lunch, I love doing it. It's no longer a chore.
Wow. So this book, when did you write Invisible Thread?
An Invisible Thread came out in 2011, and actually in An Invisible Thread in the back of the book and also on my website, I said, if you have your own Invisible Thread story, share them with me. And a month later, I received my first story from a man by the name of Angel Perez, and he was sharing his story of his Invisible Thread connection, of how he moved to the United States from Puerto Rico. He was living, you know, for the most part in poverty in the Bronx. But when he got into high school, there was a teacher that really was a guidance counselor that took him under her wing. And she really saw such incredible promise in him. And she became his Invisible Thread connection. And today he works at Trinity College. And actually his chapter is, I think, chapter 28 in Angels on Earth. So in 2015, I realized I had the most incredible collection of Invisible Thread stories of how people have had these profound impacts in their life, because either somebody came into their life or they actually made a difference in someone else's life. And it was pretty hard to pick out the stories, but I ended up picking out 29 chapter angel stories, and I call them my chapter angels. And they're the stories of how people have made a profound difference in someone else's life, or someone's made a profound difference in their life. So the theme of Angels on Earth is really about the power of fate, friendship, and kindness. And Angels on Earth really sheds light on how I believe we can all live happier and more purposeful lives through sharing acts of kindness. In fact, there's a chapter in the book called The Helper's High, and it's written by Dr. Dale Atkins. She's a kindness expert. And according to Dr. Dale Atkins, and also research that they've done on kindness, that kindness actually is contagious. And the more you do it, and the more you incorporate it into your life, because it makes you feel so good, you want to do it over and over again.
Wow. So the angels on earth came out of the invisible thread. These are individual stories. How can people get you these books? Is there in all the bookstores or what?
In all the bookstores, but they can also, of course, get it. You know, I always say, you know, if you have a local bookstore in your area, we always want to support our Barnes & Noble and other, you know, local bookstores. But if not, you can get it on barnesandnoble.com or actually on Amazon. But all three books are, you know, online as well. And I also have a website, which is laurashroff.com. And actually on the website, there is an area for Angels on Earth, and you can actually meet the chapter angels. You can see photographs of all the different people, which is really kind of fun.
And I know I looked at the book this morning. In one of the chapters, you talked about the biochemistry of kindness, that when people do a kind act, there's like a reaction in the body. And
it's
the
like an endorphin.
It's
kind of like an endorphin, yeah. And that's why they call it a helper's high. And when I speak at schools, I, you know, tell the students all the time it's the best high of all, because it's, first of all, it's a natural high, and you get this high just from being kind. And, you know, one of the things that I love about Angels on Earth is some of the stories are very complex, but then there are stories like the first chapter, and I made this chapter, the first chapter, The Hug, and I did it on purpose because everyone, particularly now as we're starting to get into the holiday season, while so many of us are so blessed to have so much in our lives, there are those who don't. And The Hug is just about a young woman who was in a supermarket, and she saw a young woman with three small children, and she could tell that the mother was struggling by the food that she had in her basket. And Drew Sanchez remembered when she was a young mother with small children and how she was also really struggling. And she went over to the woman and said that she wanted to help her and she wanted to purchase her groceries. And the mother started to cry, and she hugged her. And Drew mentioned that she would meet her by the registers. And when she didn't show up, Drew ended up going over and getting a gift certificate. And then she found the young woman in the produce area. And she went over and just said, you know, I know that you're probably still busy shopping. I've got to get back to work, but I'd love to give you this gift certificate. And she handed it to the woman. And as she was walking away, the two little boys kept screaming, stop, stop, wait. And when she turned around, they came running to her, and they gave her this big, huge hug. And that's why the name of that chapter is The Hug.
Wow. Whoa. These are really touching stories. Can I hear another one, please?
Sure. You know, it's really, when I think about the stories, I always say I love all of them because they're all so different. But another story, which is, again, this is more complex, but Jason Bradburn, this is the donor. He was a senior vice president, is a senior vice president in Morgan Stanley. And when a colleague of his needed a stem cell or a bone marrow transfer because he was gravely ill, Jason signed up for it. And unfortunately, he was not a match, and then the young man passed away. And 3 years later, Jason received this phone call from Be the Match, and he was faced with this incredibly difficult question. How far are you willing to go to help a complete stranger who's in need? And Jason felt that it was his responsibility in life to help this recipient. And what I love the most about this story is the donor, or the recipient really, was in his 60s. He only lived for about 3 years after Jason gave him, after he had the transfer. But when you think about it, you know, a man at 60 years old, he could have seen his daughter or son get married. He could have seen a grandchild be born or traveled on a vacation. And what Jason gave him, which is something you can't purchase, was the gift of time. And Jason absolutely believes that we're not only responsible for ourselves, but we're absolutely responsible for one another. And when we can do that, we're really blessed. We're really lucky. So that's another story. It's definitely more complicated. And do we have time for another?
Of course.
Okay.
Of course.
Another one is Eileen Schwartz, and it's this chapter is chapter 12. It's the sweater. And when she was a young girl, she was flipping through a magazine, and she saw a sweater that she wanted to purchase. But at the time, she was only making $4.20 an hour. And she came across one of the Child Fund ads, you know, that says, you know, change the life of another child. And she decided to pledge $15 a month for a needy child halfway around the world. And before she knew it, she started communicating by mail with Hippolito, and he was a young Guatemalan boy. And, you know, in her own mind, she dreamed that one day he might become a doctor or, you know, a teacher. But she really never knew what, you know, he was doing with this $15. And it wasn't until he actually was in the United States going to college that he decided to track her down. And he ended up flying to Oregon to meet with her. And Hippolito today is a doctor. And he absolutely believes that it was because of that $15 that she sent. You know, to us, $15 a month doesn't seem like a lot. But for a young boy in Guatemala, it was what was, was enough money for his mother to be able to pay for him to go to a good school. So the stories are all different, but there is this common thread, and the common thread is how we all have the ability to be an angel on earth. And, you know, when you think about today, and, you know, there's so much going on, I also believe that angels on earth is a sweet reminder of how there is actually so much goodness in our ever-changing world and how people really truly want to make a difference. You know, when we saw the terrible shooting in Las Vegas about a month or so ago, you know, what really stood out most to me was, I mean, there was a lot that stood out to me. It was the most horrible, horrific event that took place in our country. But there were people who were saving strangers and strangers who were helping other people. And there was goodness that came out of it. Again, it's not the kind of goodness that you want to see, but people have it in their hearts to make a difference, and sometimes we just have to stop and think about, you know, where we are and what we're doing.
I'm curious about, Laura, is like this attitude you have, this empathy for others. Did you always have this as a young child, or was that moment with Maurice when you stopped and turned around, was that the turning point in your life? And I think somewhere I read you do talk about turning points.
You know, I have to, you know, and I don't want to paint myself as an angel because I'm really not, but I do remember when I was in my early 20s and I would commute to New York, and it used to come through Penn Station, and you go down this really long, dark, kind of ugly tunnel, and there were homeless people all the time. And I remember saying to my mother, I see this lady every day. Can I make her a sandwich? And my mother said, sure, you want to make her a sandwich? Make her a sandwich. You know, I think that my childhood, because it was so difficult, and I think it made me more compassionate. But I also believe that, you know, Maurice really brought out the best in me because he really taught me how life sometimes is not always fair. And, you know, he was a child, and yet he had this heart that was full of love. And, you know, people used to say to me all the time, you know, Maurice was so lucky to have met you. And I used to say all the time, I was so lucky to have met Maurice. So I truly believe that Maurice certainly had a very big impact in how I see the world today. And again, I think it's because I got to share so much time. We were playing a game one Monday night, and he had a really bad cold. And I said to him, ugh, you're grossing me out. Go to the bathroom and go blow your nose. And he looked at me, he said, what do you mean? I said, what do you mean, what do I mean? He said, I've never heard that before. And he was serious. And when you think about it, when you're a child, your parent or your grandparent or who's your caretaker, your mother, your father, they put a tissue up to your nose and they say, blow your nose. He had never sat at a dining room table. He didn't own a towel. He didn't own a toothbrush. So Maurice really was the one who taught me so much more compassion because I saw firsthand. And we were setting up the Christmas tree, and it was the first time he was ever going to spend Christmas with a family. He was going to go out to Long Island, but we set up a Christmas tree in my apartment too, and after the Christmas tree was set up, we were listening to Christmas music, and I was making chocolate chip cookies and hot cocoa. And he knew all the words to all the songs. And I said to Maurice, I said, how do you know all the words to all the songs if you really haven't celebrated Christmas? And you know what he said to me? Mark, he said to me,
what?
Kids like me, we see everything. The only difference is we see it from the outside looking in.
Wow. That's feeling.
Can you imagine 11?
Yeah.
At 11 years old, he was able to articulate it like that.
I think a lot of people have had that feeling of being an outsider looking in.
Yeah.
You know, that feeling of not quite belonging.
Isn't that for sure? But he
yeah.
was able at 11 years old to articulate it in such a kind of profound way.
So I want to... I'm also the gatekeeper here, the timekeeper, and this show has gone by so quickly that I hardly said anything, which is very unusual.
I hope I didn't monopolize it.
No, I was fascinated by and inspired. I was very inspired by your what you had to say and your. Your courage, your commitment, and your willingness to change and to be a shining light. I just think that the world needs more people like you.
Well, you know, I have to honestly say that I believe my mother, who passed away at the very young age of only 47 when I was 25, I truly believe my mother has been by my side every step of the way. So I know that I haven't done it on my own, that's for sure.
But you've done
it. Are we still on air now at this point?
We still are. We have a minute and a half to go.
Oh, great.
I just wanted to give you like a warning, you know, like when you have kids, you gotta you can't lay it on them all at the same time. You got to give them a little notice. So I gave you 2.5 minutes notice. But Yeah, this has been very inspiring for me, and I know for the listeners that are listening out there, this has been very, very moving. And each week we have so many amazing people that grace our show to inspire others, and it lives up to the name of the Inspire Possibility Show. And I just love your story. I look forward to reading An Invisible Thread. And I want to thank you again for taking the time to being on the show. And to you out there, you can get Laura's books at your local bookstore, The Invisible Thread, Angels on Earth, and the Visible Thread Christmas Stories. You can get all of that. They make incredible gifts. And, Laura, I just, again, enjoyed having you so much on our show, and hopefully another time we'll have you back, and we'll start discovering some more invisible threads.
I would love that, and I very much appreciate the fact that you've invited me to be on your show. There's so many people you can have on your show, and so I really appreciate the fact that, you know, you invited me to be on your show, so thank you. And I certainly thank your listeners, and I want to wish you a very, very happy Thanksgiving and all of your listeners as well.
Thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Inspire Possibility Show with Mark Susnow. To learn more about Mark Susnow, go to inspirepossibility.com and click on the contact button. Schedule a complimentary visit with Mark or email him at mark@inspirepossibility.com. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine.